Okay, Dan, here we go. It's Freaky Friday. Is that what it is?
Reeky Friday. It's
Freaky Friday.
lots of good Friday analogies. Fabulous Friday, Friendship Friday. It's just a Friday. America has a love affair with Fridays, don't they? I mean, everybody loves Fridays.
Why?
Because traditionally, now the world is changing with Gen Z, but traditionally it was the end of the work week, right? And you're going to go home, you're planning on doing things for fun, going out, partying, doing something with your family, going to a sporting event. People get pumped up for the weekend. Now I know you, and so our banter podcast listener know you are. Your motto is, and the name of your company you once founded was EDC, and it stands for Every Day Counts. That was one of your mottos. So I know for you, Friday's the same as Tuesday or Saturday, sometimes Sunday you're working on, depending on if it's expert witness work or technology idea, you're always ready.
So what's going on in the New York do you want to talk about?
Well, you know, that New York City, it's kind of captured the attention, taking us away from politics and world turmoil, and the shooting of the UnitedHealthcare CEO right there on the street in front of his hotel. I think that's very fascinating. I hope that that doesn't become something that we're going to see more of. And it'll be interesting when they come up with the why. It sounds like, because they found some writings on the bullets, on the shells, that it has
And what'd they
something to
find? What was the
do.
writings?
What's that?
What was the writings?
Well, there was one that said, one of the shells said deny,
What
the
was
other
the other
said
one?
defend
Yeah.
and depose, which are
Right.
all questionable words about maybe the perpetrator, the shooter, had a family member or someone who was denied coverage. And they decided to do this, which is sad for the America.
And I noticed that in the reports, none of them mention where those words came from.
Other than they say those are common words, I think you're going to tell us, you know of a book or something like
I
that,
sent
don't
you a
you?
co I sent you the picture of it.
Yeah, there's a book, and it has to do with what happens to save millions of dollars when insurance companies try to take away coverage or deny coverage.
Yeah, that was the name of the book is what was on the metal casings. What I don't understand is why people that are writing about it don't connect the two. I mean, I don't get it. I mean, the first person that I talked to about it last night mentioned, oh, it was the name of the book written 12 years ago.
Yeah, I think ABC News mentioned
They
something about
did?
that, but other than
I never
ABC,
saw it, right?
I've not heard anybody.
Well, I bought the book. I wonder how many of the news people actually bought the book and took a look at it.
Oh, well, tell us about that. Tell the
Tell you
listeners
what.
here. Have you read it yet?
Yes, read the whole thing.
You did.
Absolutely did. It
Of
wasn't hard to
course you
read.
did.
Wasn't hard to read because it really, well, I'll tell you, there's a couple things in the book. At least seven or eight chapters were just basically on anecdotal examples of people that had their claims denied.
Huh.
So that was the first part, right? And some of these claims were, they went on for 4 or 5 years. They had to go to court. So that was a whole section on examples of people that have had claims denied, right? And they went
Huh.
to court. And in many cases, in fact, in most cases in the book, the plaintiffs won. They sued the different insurance companies. So that's the one thing. There was also some sections on state regulators and how powerful the state regulator is in every state. Every state has a state regulator of the insurance area.
Insurance commissioner, yes.
Insurance companies, very powerful jobs. The insurance companies have big lobbyists that lobby the states to they invest big money in politics. So that was one thing. Now, the other thing they mentioned was that I'll kind of get to my other point that I think I learned from it was that when you buy a policy today, most people buy on what?
Well, most people buy on price and
Price.
coverage. Yeah.
Most people buy on a low price because that's all we have. In fact, the advertising companies, or no, State Farm, all these guys, all they advertise is we're the lowest price, say 15% of Geico, right? But what you
Right.
don't know is a buyer is what their claims history is. You don't know that. That's not available to us, right? If you hire a
Ah.
painter and the guy paints your house, doesn't do a good job, you can not pay him. But in the insurance company, you pay in advance.
Yeah, you
You
pay in the
don't
first of the
know
month.
if they're going to deliver until you have a claim. So when you talk with your insurance guy, he says, well, we're the lowest cost insurance company. Well, maybe they're also the worst claims company, right?
Yeah, now is there, now knowing you, you probably have already looked into this. Is there a online resource or
Well,
website or anything that
there are a number of resources, but most of them are supported or sponsored by the insurance companies. Every state has got a NAIC
Oh, yeah.
kind of website. You can go there and get FAQs. But we don't know how many claims are settled because the first place. Think about it this way: let's say I'm a plaintiff, and I sue an insurance company, and I win some amount of money.
People are on the edge of their seats here as
Well,
you're
the whole
checking.
point is
Probably the
that
White House is calling
the
you or
whole
Trump's
point is
calling you.
that we don't know what the settlement is, do we? I'm the plaintiff. They've been sued, let's say, 20 times. I don't know what they've settled for in other cases. The plaintiff knows, or no, not the plaintiff, the defendant,
Insurance company.
the defendant knows, or the insurance company, but I don't know. So I don't know what the history is of their settlement because settlements are always confidential and sealed. The benefit of that, and this is, by the way, this is my experience, not what's talked about in the book, is that the benefit of a sealed settlement goes to the plaintiff because the plaintiff, no, excuse me, it goes to the defendant, it goes to the insurance company
Insurance
because they
company.
have the information on the settlement. If I'm the new plaintiff, the second plaintiff, I don't know what they settled for before. They may have settled 20 cases for a dollar, but when they're talking to me, they'll act like, well, you're not going to get anything, right? So I don't know what they've settled for because that's the biggest thing going on, and it's in patents and any kind of settlement issue is that the plaintiff, I'm going to get this right, the plaintiff wants the information sealed
Yes. Now,
so the next person they sue does not have that information.
why do you think that is? I mean, why hasn't
I
some
just said
Congress,
why.
why
Because the
cause it's
plaintiff doesn't want it to let out.
exactly, but with all this full disclosure, sunshine laws in politics, got to reveal everything, can't have private meetings, et cetera. Why has not a congressperson said, we need to make more truth and information available from
Oh, they
insurance
do.
companies?
They do this all the time. Of course they do. That has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. If you go to court,
Well,
no,
of
and if you
course
go
it
to
does.
court, no, it doesn't. No. The court, the parties involved,
Right.
Congress people are, they're not a third party to the
I well,
people.
no, what I'm saying is you're saying that historically and traditionally they're sealed because that benefits the insurance company because the
No,
world
I
doesn't
didn't
know that.
say that. I never said that. I said they're sealed because the parties agree to it. Now, the benefit goes to the insurance company, but they're not sealed because of the benefit. They're sealed because the two parties to the suit agree to it. They're
Well,
the ones
yes.
that have to not agree to it, not the
But
Congress, not the courts, not somebody else. They've already agreed that's going to be settled because that's
why
the
do
way.
you think they want it to be sealed?
No, we just said that. The plaintiff wants it to be settled. The defendant, excuse me, let's go back in. The defendant, who's the insurance company, they want it to be sealed. The plaintiff can't get an agreement because the defendant says, I'm not settling unless you agree to make it sealed.
And
And
they,
who
but
has the.
here's my question. Is
Yeah.
it because when the defendant, the insurance company,
Yeah.
loses, it sends the message you can win in court against an insurance company for, and
Well,
here's
no
some
one knows
example
who loses.
amounts.
That's the whole point, isn't it? That's the point. No one knows who loses because the settlement is confidential.
Yes. And this is why this show podcast, it's called Banter, because you're trying to tell me. But what I'm saying is Jimmy Jones or Sally Smith on the street, want to know, how comes I can't find
They
out what
can't
these.
know because the parties to the original lawsuit, whatever that was, have already agreed to make it confidential.
And that's a transactional item. This is one of the reasons why you and I banter.
Not
you're talking about a legal agreement, and I'm talking about the big picture of the spirit of why can't people find out?
You're talking about something that doesn't make any sense. Because the point is that you or I or the court can't go in and unseal that document.
I know. And my
point
is insurance companies who are very successful and make billions of dollars.
Yeah.
They're probably because they, for the most part, end up winning, I would say, wouldn't you say 70% of
we
the
time? We
don't
know. That's the whole point. We don't know who wins or loses. Now, there is anecdotal examples in the book of wins or loses, but there's hundreds of these cases settled every week or every month. They're all sealed.
Yes.
Now, of course, the insurance company wants it sealed. The plaintiff doesn't have any choice if it wants to settle.
If they want the money, yeah.
If they want the money,
and that's
or
the
whatever,
power.
Whether it's $1 or $1,000. So they end up agreeing to seal it. Now, getting back to your point, Congress can't do anything about that. Now, a state regulator who sets the rules for this for insurance company in a state, they might be able to do that, but it's only a might. Because if you and I agree to make it confidential, the state can't come in and say it's not confidential. We already agreed to it. That was part of the settlement.
Agree.
So,
well, what I'm talking about is, you know, you go back to the finance, banks and credit cards, there's the truth in lending. You got to fully display the APR, the, you know, the percentage rates. There's things
that's
that
not
Congress
litigation.
Has done, and then
that's,
the states
that's a policy.
Followed up.
Set by Consumer Federation law. That's the policy by which people sue on. The plaintiff sues on those same kind of policies, but that's nothing to do with keeping it confidential. The plaintiff sues because the insurance company, to get their license, has to agree to fair business practices, a reasonable settlement. All of these things are terms that if you wanted to look at, you could read them in the book, and they'll talk that's what you'll see as the terms, but they're all subjective. They're not objective terms. Now, going back to the point, none of these things have anything to do with unsealing the document. Now, is it possible? Now we'll get back to kind of your point. It's possible, but remember, the insurance companies are never going to agree with this. They're going to lobby this forever. It would be possible for the state regulators to say the new rules to get your license, Mr. Insurance Company, to get your license, Mr. Insurance Company, you cannot seal any settlement. Now,
the
insurance
go.
Companies, that could be a regulation for getting your license. Because remember, every insurance company has to be licensed by the state.
Okay.
To get licensed by the state. Now, going back again, the insurance companies have got millions of dollars of lobbyists, right? And remember,
yes.
You talk about the military industrial complex, look at the insurance commissioner, insurance company complex. They go one guy is on one side, then they go to the other side, then they go back to the other side. Even your guy in New York, I think he was a big commissioner at one time before he was, you know, in charge of the insurance company. So the insurance commissioners, they want to get big jobs with the insurance companies. The insurance companies want to hire those people because they know how the state's regulations work.
So switching back to the book, then we got to move on to another topic because this great banter is fast moving. So was the book more of like a tell-all, here's what's going on, or did it have a premise of it that here's how you can maybe win?
No. It didn't know how it can win. No.
Okay. All right.
You
so let's
win,
do this.
Hopefully by spending a lot of money getting an attorney. All the examples are anecdotal. What they would like to argue for is certainly more disclosure, right? But they don't offer any solution on how to get it. I just mentioned one, but the practical aspects of getting that type of disclosure is probably impossible. It
yeah.
isn't going to happen.
Well, right? that'd be an interesting question. If I were a reporter, I think I would ask President-elect Trump to comment on insurance
Why?
scenarios, because I'd like to know as a leader what he's thinking. But speaking of that, speaking of Trump, I've come up with a new term. Out of total respect for Northern California, I know you have a lot of friends there. You spent a lot of time, three-time Silicon Valley board of directors guy that you were.
Got it. All right.
Yeah, I know. You don't like to be complimented.
Well, no, no, we're talking, we're bantering. We're not complimenting each other on crap. Just go on.
Yeah, no, but, well, you don't want to know what Google thinks?
What do they think?
Well, hey, hey, Google, who is Bob Sherwood? Listen.
I remember you told me, when I asked who is Bob Sherwood, say Bob Sherwood.
I can't hear it anyway. What are they saying?
The economic stimulus package that's living and breathing that there is in America today.
I didn't hear what they said.
Says that you are the greatest podcaster, radio commentator, economic stimulus package man that's living and breathing in America today.
Talking about now,
so I just like to compliment you because you don't take compliments
well. Anybody wants to get
well.
This book, I recommend you go to Amazon. The name of the book is Delay, Deny, Defend, and it's by J.F.E.I.M.A.N. Feynman, looks like. F.E.I.M.A.N. I think it's written in 2013.
Okay. And, so anyway, so back. So
you know, what's next?
Our listeners probably don't know that I have ADD, you know, and bounce around a little bit. And so I bounced around there a bit. But in deference to California, they had the 7.0 on the Richter scale.
Yeah.
And then they had a potential for a tsunami. It sounds like there wasn't as much. Any damage is not any good. But I have a new term, a Trump quake. You know, Donald Trump lots of times shakes up the land and rumbles things. We're going to talk about this in the future. We'll say another Trump quake, the Trump, or maybe the Trump-rick scale. That's a combination of the Richter scale and Trump. So the Trump-rick scale. So there's like 60 now, 25 cabinet positions and probably 40 other positions and czars and appointees. And Trump has appointed a lot of people. A lot of them, like he started out hot, Susan Wiles as the chief of staff. I think she's going to be a good job. Marco Rubio, I think that was a home run for Secretary of State. But then he got into, as you know, we had Matt Gaetz and recent days, Pete Hegseth for Department of Defense. And of course, Robert F. Kennedy, Health and Human Services, can be controversy. And then you have the FBI director Kash Patel. So my question is, sometimes Trump's appointees are 7.0 or 8.0 on the Trump quake scale. Yeah. Those three of those. Do you have any opinions, Bob, that we can banter on Robert F. Kennedy or Pete Hegseth or Kash Patel?
And I don't have any opinions on any of them.
You don't?
No, because the opinions will come in 6 months. I think any new hire needs a shot at the job. And if they don't work out, then you fire them. But you can't fire them before they start, although that's how we do it in America. We say we don't like the guy, we're not going to approve him. But in my opinion, Congress should support everyone that the president submits and then criticize them later when they don't do a good job or something. But to not let the president get the people around him that he wants, I think it's a big mistake for the Democrats. They should support him 100% and then watch him. And if they don't do a good job, then go after him. That's
well,
when
it's
you
harder
fire
to
the
get
person.
Him out once they're in there. But here's
Pardon
the
me?
Thing I wonder if Trump's doing is he's trying to test the loyalty because, you know, he's a gigantic guy on loyalty.
Well, he should be. Any good president demands loyalty. President
yes.
of any company, they demand it. That doesn't mean you don't want somebody to contradict you. That's not, that doesn't mean it's not disloyal to say somebody is bad. I work for Bern Shepman. Bern Shepman is president of Aerotech. His vice president was a guy by the name of Wayne Dowdy. I'm sitting in
Wayne
Dowdy's office. Pardon me?
I said, good old Wayne Dowdy. I don't know.
Wayne Dowdy. I'm sitting in Wayne Dowdy's office. Now I'm a young person. I don't even know you can criticize people at my age, right? So
wait a minute. So all the podcasters who enjoy you as the chief banter, you're the CBO of America, the chief banter official. You're saying you didn't know back then how to heckle or banter or
No, that's not what I meant to say is that I didn't understand you can criticize your boss and still be loyal to him. That was my point. You can criticize your boss and still be loyal to them. Wayne Dowdy, I'm sitting in Wayne Dowdy's office. He works for Bern Shepman. I work for Bern Shepman. Wayne just started going off on how crazy Shetman was, and I was kind of embarrassed. I thought, oh my God, you can talk like that about Bern Shetman? And I just sat there for a few minutes. He could see I was like a little bit, felt awkward. And he said, look, he said, he's the president. He makes mistakes. I tell him if he makes mistakes. He may do what he wants to do anyway. He can. He's the president. But, you know, I can tell him. So he says, I'm loyal to Bern. He said, once Bern makes a decision, that's cast in stone. That's what I learned. You can be loyal. And that's what I'm saying. Of course he wants loyalty. That doesn't mean he wants somebody to be a yes man.
So
Trump's too smart for that.
I strongly disagree with you that we should just give carte blanche, which is a credit card nobody has anymore. Remember carte blanche credit card? Nobody has it anymore. Just let Trump appoint whoever he wants to appoint, especially when the most significant offices and power centers of our country, my country, your country.
Well, you're wrong. You don't understand. You don't understand what a president has to do. You know any presidents?
I've shaken hands with five United States presidents. I'm a student.
Have you talked to them about loyalty?
You're funny.
Presidents of companies, just like the United States of America, they need to have the people around them to carry out their process. See, if I was a Democrat, I would say, look, you can have whoever you want. Take what you want because you were elected to carry out your mission. But I'm going to watch what happens. And if these people screw up, I'm going to be the first one to complain.
So, okay, let me ask you a question then in the banter. Yeah. Okay, so you're the CEO of a company with a large sales organization.
Yeah.
Supposed to be the most powerful sales organization in the country.
Yeah.
Everybody knows your sales organization.
Yeah.
And the chief revenue officer, chief marketing officer, whoever is in charge, VP of sales, says, all our salesmen are bad. They make too much money and they're out of control. Would you keep that guy in the position? Would you hire him?
I don't even know the context of what you're talking about. What I said was one thing. What you're talking about is a completely different thing.
I'm talking about comments. Behavior and words matter. You just think behavior and words, you're saying behavior and words don't matter?
No. The president needs the people around him to carry out the mission that he was elected for. That's period. He should.
Is it for him or is it for the country?
Well, he's the one that set the policies that got him elected. So he needs to have those people around him. Smart Democrats would let him have it.
Well,
Democrats will influence his decisions.
The Democrats aren't going to have much of a say, very little say, because it's going to be the Republican committee that approves them or not.
Dan, you got to be smart. And a dumb Democrat will influence his decision. Then when he doesn't get to carry out what he wants, he'll say, well, Christ, you Democrats, you got in the way. The Democrats should step out of the way. Then they can say, we gave you everything you wanted, Mr. Trump. We gave you all your people. You didn't deliver.
But that's not leadership. If my dad, quote my dad.
No, I don't talk about your dad.
Yes. Oh, now Bob, beep, beep, beep. There's a technical foul. As a referee, I'd say, beep, that's a technical foul on you. Your unsportsmanlike conduct, not letting me honor my dad, who said to me, son, if you see something that needs to be done and no one is doing it,
it's not applicable.
Step up and
talk
lead.
About your dad all you want. It's just not applicable.
It's totally applicable.
It's not. What your dad says about, my dad said all kinds of stuff. Most of it's not applicable to hiring people around you.
Yeah, but Donald Trump, of the 65 or 70 appointments, if Congress.
That's why the Democrats are dumb. They're dumb because if they were smart, they would go ahead and let Trump, what I call, give him enough rope to hang himself.
Yeah.
If they take in charge of the rope, then they're now responsible.
But this will more so be the Republicans in the Senate who are going to be the committee that approves and sets forth these appointments, not the Democrats.
Anyway, we don't know what it takes to be.
I'm telling you that there are two or three that aren't going to make.
You know
we already have Matt Gaetz.
The tradition is when a president is elected, all the cabinet offers turn in their resignation?
Traditionally.
That's exactly right. Because why? Because the president has the right and should have the right to pick the people around him that he wants, that help him carry out his mission. And his mission is what he was elected on. Now, I could go on like this for a long time. I can see we're not going to agree on it because we have different views as to what a dumb Democrat is and what a smart Democrat is. A dumb Democrat to me is exactly what we have now. That's why this guy, that's why you read these books about the Democrats. They're not smart.
Well, it isn't about Democrats or Republicans. Oh, it's about leadership. It's about leadership.
Leadership is recognizing that the guy's elected president. Give him all the rope he wants. Let me ask you another question. What else you have on your list here? Are you keeping track of our time, by the way?
Let's see. It's we've been on for about 25 minutes. We're rolling.
Okay. What else you got?
Well, you had a couple good ideas you sent me.
I didn't have any ideas. Go ahead. Well, what's your idea?
Well, what's my idea for today? Well, yeah. Let's see. We wanted to talk about we talked about healthcare, we talked about Trump appointments, we talked about talk about this is breaking news and I'm glad that President Trump's out front and up front getting America ready is the AI and crypto czar that he appointed, David Sachs.
Who's that? Who did he appoint?
David Sachs.
Who is he?
David Sachs is a Silicon Valley guy that was involved in PayPal and has done some other.
He was the partner of Musk.
Yeah, he and Musk are tight.
Yeah, they made $400 million or something.
He is South African born, like Elon Musk.
I remember now, right?
Yeah. So the good thing is that we'll have someone specifically addressing or leading, being the leader in the AI.
What does that mean? Let's say he's the crypto czar. What the hell does that mean?
Well, if I were him, I would get together with members of Congress and the Senate and technology, a roundtable of technology people, and say, hey, we all know the benefits and how AI is going to help business.
He's a crypto czar, not an AI czar, right?
No, he's both. He's both. He's leading both. So we got to put, and I think he made a statement that was good, is that it's not necessarily putting controls or penalizing technology, but having some, you know, what do they call it in bowling, gutter balls, some bumpers, some gutter bumpers.
Well, that's what I call, in other words, it's more subjective bullshit that the government puts out. I'm trying to find out, what is he actually going to do?
So the other thing
Monday
he's going to do.
Monday morning at 8 o'clock, what can he do?
Which I think is should probably be questioned, is he's, you know, involved in crypto. And, you know, the elephant in the room, Bob, now listen, you can't banter that. The elephant in the room is Donald Trump was against, first he was against it, crypto and Bitcoin, and now he's for it. So he flip-flopped.
He might be against it again.
Let me finish. Let me finish, banter boy. Okay. he spoke at the crypto convention, and they loved him. So all of a sudden now he likes crypto. Within 30 days of speaking.
What's your point?
The Trump.
What's your point then?
The point is the Trump family started a crypto finance, buy crypto through the Trump organization, Liberty.
So why shouldn't he be able to do that?
Well, he's the president of the United States. And if you're going to talk about something.
First, he's not president of the United States.
He's the president-elect of the United States.
Right. And so he'll eventually have to deal with all those issues. But getting back to the crypto thing, so what about crypto? I mean, what's the whole deal with it anyway?
You know, you are more intelligent. See, I can say that comfortably. You're more intelligent in crypto because, again, and I can't get into details because I don't know much because you're very private, but I know you had some expert legal conversations and represented some companies in that arena, which I don't know how much you could share.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
But you, okay, understand. But you know more about it.
I never represented a single crypto organization.
Okay.
Got to be very clear about
this,
right?
You are extremely professional and private and confidential.
I'm not saying anything that's not true. I never represented ever I never acted as an agent, never acted as a representative for any crypto organization.
Okay, my mistake.
And by
then,
the way, as an expert witness, I don't represent anybody except the court. But go ahead.
All right, my mistake. So, you know, we're slowly moving. How many places I've gone where the signs say we don't accept cash anymore?
Yeah, I know. I agree with you that. But do they accept crypto?
Yeah, and more. Some places do. If you get into the technology places, they're accepting
crypto.
So do
you think that in 5 years, crypto will be pretty common?
I wouldn't say it would be common, but it'll be like electric cars, EVs are today, is that more and more people are using it, but it'll be about at the level of the EVs. You're seeing a trend towards that.
Would you be surprised to know that China already has its own cryptocurrency?
Well, the government, they control whatever they want to
they
control.
They do. They have their own cryptocurrency. I think that's what's driving Trump, is that he sees. You have to go back to, I think it was, I'm trying to remember the point after the war in which they brought together John Maynard Keynes. It was the Yalta Summit when they decided altogether to make the dollar the financial currency of the world backed by gold. And John Maynard Keynes was in that meeting. I think it was a Yalta Summit, something like that. Anyway, John Maynard Keynes was part of that. So we operated on
Keynes, that's
economics
Keynes,
since
like
then.
The Keynesian theory?
Yeah, Keynesian, right. So we operate on the Keynesian theory ever since then. Now, we're not on the gold standard anymore. We're not on any standard for that matter. So if we go toward crypto, right, we're really going closer and closer to global currencies. See, the issue now, if I go to Europe, I got to trade my dollars in for euros, right?
Yeah.
If I go to China, I got to trade them for yuan. Or
yeah,
how you pronounce it, right? And if I go to Denmark, I got to change him for Kronen or whatever. So
see, that's why I like you. You know a lot of about stuff.
Yeah, and arbitrage has gone on for years. So if I see a big difference between the value of Japanese currency versus American currency, I can make money just on arbitrage. So I think, and it's like this is far beyond my pay grade, but I certainly can see that in 20 years, we have a global currency, and that's probably crypto, right? Now, there are some issues with that, but I can see we have a global currency because every time I go to another country, somebody makes money on that transaction, right? My wife just went to Italy. She takes dollars over there. It costs her probably 15% to trade that into what's the Italy money? What is that?
The lira?
Yeah, lira, right? And then if she trades it back, so the bank makes money, the ATM makes money, the hotel makes money. Under crypto, then there's no arbitrage between currencies. So I can see globally, that's a big, big benefit. But
don't you
I
think
can see it going
somebody's
going
to figure out a way, hey, we're doing all these transactions. We got to have a transaction fee just like credit cards, and it'll
be
there.
Probably. I mean, I see that. So the crypto would have a transaction fee, but there would be no currency exchange fee.
So, okay. So,
you go down to the Bank of America and take $500 and they'll give you $400 of lira to go to Europe in. So you just lost 20% of your money and haven't even left the country yet.
Okay. So let's go back to AI because you and I trying to make the world a better place, whether it's bantering or trying to help people. We hosted starting 2 years ago when AI was like, what's AI? Nobody knew anything about it. Like,
we did that. Right.
We did that. We did it. And we taught a lot of people. A lot of those people have gone on to have their own little programs. You got kind of don't you have an upcoming AI educational opportunity for people? You want to talk about that?
If you're on my email list, You got a chance to register for 3 sessions on AI. Yeah. I don't know if you're on my list or not, but I have about 5.
I am. I got it. Yeah. So your people, that's webtalkwithbob@gmail.
What's that?
Your email.
Yeah. But the email came from leadership@adenomap.com.
Ah, okay.
But the point is that, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do 3 sessions. It's free. People can register for it. I haven't announced the dates yet. And what we're going to be doing is talking about, Copilot, We'll be talking about Claude and OpenAI. I think I don't know if you, did we just talk about this, but OpenAI, I think yesterday announced, in other words, I pay $20 a month for my chat,
As I do.
$240 a year. They just introduced another version, an upscale version, which is $200 a month.
Oh, well, yeah,
And
that's for like what, 500 employees or what? Or, well,
no, that's per
what's the
person.
difference?
That's per
What's the
person.
upscale? What's the
That's per person.
benefit of it? The breakthrough?
Well,
Speed?
I haven't bought it yet, but if I do, here's what they say the breakthrough is, that you get access to a lot more tools than you would for the $20 a month version, which I would hope so, since it's 10 times more expensive.
Yeah, the $20 version for any of our listeners here to banter, I'm gonna tell you, it is amazing some of the capabilities that you can get, some of the free add-ons to create logos, photos, writing a book, writing PDFs, whatever it might be.
Let me throw in one thing. Maybe you've already heard about this, but in the old days, there was a thing called Cliff Notes. Do you remember Cliff Notes?
Good old Cliff Notes. Yeah, it got me
Yeah,
through
you couldn't read the
college.
book. You'd go down to the library and you get the small book, which is the Cliff Notes, that told
Yes.
you usually the questions that the teachers would ask and all kinds of crap. Well, Google just introduced this thing called, it's called Gemini. What Gemini does, let's say you have a lecture from a professor, and let's say you have it an audio and or a hard copy,
Yes.
either one. You upload it to Gemini. It then produces for you a study guide, a list of possible test questions, possible answers. It produces for you Cliff Notes.
Can they like take our podcast, banter podcast, and bring it into concise bullet points?
Sure. Yeah, I would do that. I mean, we can do that now with OpenAI. We can.
That's
I can
true.
upload. I have a trans. If I have a transcript of this, I can simply upload it. I don't know about the audio, but according to Google, their Gemini product, actually, you can upload an audio recording. So if you, let's for example, you go to a lecture, right?
Yeah.
You record the lecture from the professor. You come home. Now you have an audio file, MP3 file, right, or M4. You upload it to Gemini. It then gives you the Cliff Notes. You don't have to listen to the audio.
Uh-oh. How would you like to be the CEO of Cliff Notes? Who owns Cliff Notes? Oh, I don't know, or is it
I don't know.
important?
I don't even know if they use them anymore. But the point is that this whole concept of AI is moving so rapidly. That's why these companies that are involved in it having or have such look at what's Musk's. Elon Musk's new AI, it's called what, X1 or XAI?
XAI or something like. Did you see that his son that he had on his shoulders, ADD squirrel, his son's name is X. That's
Well,
what he named
I
his
didn't know
son,
that, but
X.
well,
Maybe
yeah.
it's Xavier or something. I don't know,
The
but
point, the point is, though, he just raised $7 billion for his AI company. It doesn't have any employees yet. They haven't written any code yet. He raised 7 billion, not million, $7 billion, and it's all based on, I was reading an article about it, and they said he just told investors, "Hey, look, it's going to be the best open AI program anybody has." Seven
I love it. Maybe
billion,
we
right?
need to create banter.ai and teach people how to be the best banter champions in the world and get
Well,
5
I don't
billion.
know. I don't know about that, but I do know this, that there's so many things happening. I mean, you've got right now. You've got, and we're going to do this in my seminars. But you've got Copilot, which is unbelievable, right? You got Claude with Google. You have
Yeah.
OpenAI. What's another one? Claude, Copilot, OpenAI. What's another big
Well,
one in
there's
there?
Dal
Oh,
dot
Bing.
e,
Well,
e
Microsoft
or
has got Bing, but they
Ing.
also have a big investment in OpenAI.
Yeah,
I
there's
mean,
so
it's
many.
incredible. You won't be able to move. I use AI every day. I'm rewriting something. I'm getting some ideas. As you know, I'm working on my book now, and I'll have a topic come up on my book, like Where's a great island to have a private meeting? Yeah, bingo. A couple islands come up, right?
And describes the island and gives you the setting.
It's just like it's in a way, it makes me cry. I literally start crying, and I start crying because I realize that I'm 82. I've been working on stuff for 60 years, and with AI, I could collapse all my work of 60 years into about 6 months because I spent 2 years on a thesis that would literally take a weekend for me to do now. A weekend, I could do the whole thesis. I spent 2 years on it.
You are an amazing guy in your youthfulness in that season of life. When you compare yourself with other people in their 80s, you are kind of like a combination of Bill O'Reilly, Donald Trump, Elon Musk, and
Well, I don't know about those guys, but frankly, I really like Bill O'Reilly. I'd say in terms of if I were picking somebody to be like, and I don't know anything about his personal life, but in terms of his delivery, his style,
you are.
the way he provides evidence for things, I would like to be a Bill O'Reilly.
You are Bill O'Reilly. I've always thought that, even when he was
Because
back on
he's
Fox.
very clear, and sometimes he'll be somewhat self-deprecating. He'll say, "This is my opinion. It could be wrong. I could be all wrong, but this is my opinion anyway." Right? He doesn't, he just flat out says, "This is the way I feel. This is the way I think." And sometimes he'll have some evidence, and he'll say, "Well, I got some evidence for it." But other times he'll just say, "Look, this is the way I think. This is the way I feel." So it's kind of self-deprecating. He doesn't feel like he's got to provide, 25 footnotes for everything he says, right?
Do you remember back when he had his show? He'd have to banter with. He'd have what's his name, Geraldo Rivera. I'm kind of the Geraldo Rivera. You and I are kind of like O'Reilly and Geraldo Rivera. We banter back and forth, and yet they enjoyed each other, laughed, and
I think that's true. I'm all for I think the I was thinking the other day about our banter because I remember one of the great sports shows I like to listen to. There were two guys, and they literally would go at it on anything. He likes the Bears. He likes Philadelphia. He likes Joe. He likes Jack. I mean, they would talk over each other for 15 minutes, right? Each trying to, and but it was when you listen to them, you realize they both had some pretty good points, And so I found it to be a really good learning, what I call learning experience, right? And I'm hopefully people that listen to us, that's what they would get. They'd say, well, it's not a matter of agreeing with Dan or agreeing with Bob. That's not the issue. It's not a matter
That's
of agreeing with anybody, right?
if you just pick something up, you learn one thing. That's it. You spend 25 to 40 minutes with you and I, and you learn one thing that might help you understand the world, politics, life, investing, and they go do it. We've made the world a better place.
Yeah,
So, well,
you're right.
we're winding down on our time. Any words of wisdom here on the Friday finale?
Well, I think if there's words of wisdom, I would say this. Here's the things that I believe are happening faster than we all take credit for. One is voice activated. As you know, I've been researching voice activated companies for like a year, and I'm invested in several of them. I believe everything will be voice, everything. Okay, that's a big number, but most things will be voice activated. Your car, start my car. I mean, a lot of these things are happening now, but I mean, they'll become more pervasive. Start my car, open Microsoft Word. I mean, the keyboard is eventually going away, except
Oh,
it might be tactile.
absolutely.
It's going to be gone in the next versions of computers. It'll be voice act, turn on my computer, open the file.
I can give a live example, although unless they're watching this version of it, but I can say, "Hey Google, turn off my office TV." Now watch what happens, Bob. Turn off my office TV. Oh, come on, Google. There we go. See that? It went away. Did you see that? Now
And
watch this.
we see this now. I mean, people say, "Oh yeah, sure, well, that's obvious." It's hey, Alisa, or hey, what's the other people? Hey, Siri, or hey, this person or that person. Yeah, and those are things that are happening, right? But it's going to happen more and more and more.
Oh yeah.
One of the
And
companies
mine reminds me when to take my protein shake, when to work out. Hey, I can say right now, hey, Google, turn off the USABFA studio lights.
Yeah. Well, Torchy's. Do you like Torchy's tacos?
We talked about, I'd never heard of them, but they're voice activated now.
Right. Right. And that's an example because, Chipotle is going to be voice activated. They already signed it. They signed an agreement with, and your cars, all the, you look at the Tesla stuff and realize every other car company is moving toward what Tesla has.
Yeah. Which and Tesla was going to give the technology away free as long as they had their logo on the screen.
Right. Right. But you realize at one more point about it, I think we may have talked about this before, but the big picture for Elon Musk is that no one owns a car. No one. There's just thousands of cars out there parked everywhere.
His future plan. His future plan. Now, if you just paid $120,000 for a Tesla pickup truck, the new car, you'd want that to be your car. But you're talking about
the
future.
No, you wouldn't. You want to make money off your car. So you'd go park your car in some parking lot. And remember, every Tesla car, you have your profile. So with my profile, I get in any Tesla car. I punch profile, right? I punch my code in. And that car now has everything about me, the temperature I like, the speed I like, the seat position I like, everything about me is in the car. So I don't care what car I'm in, right?
Yeah.
Because every car has got my profile. So Musk says, there's just thousands of cars out there. You just go get in any car you want, punch your profile and drive it. And for that, you pay a fee. Now, I'm going to tell you, in my mind, I hope I'm alive when that happens, because I think that's the coolest idea I've ever heard of.
Yeah, I think you will be. And, Elon Musk, which I've said, I've adjusted my... I used to say he's 200 years in the future. He's just 100 years. He's just from 2125, not current, but he's from the future. That's why he's coming up.
What do we got on time for our bantering today?
Yeah, it's time. It's the time to say goodbye to all our banter friends.
What's our closing song? What do we go?
We gotta come up with a song. You know, like Dean Martin, everybody.
What was Bob Hope's favorite song?
Somebody sometime.
Yeah, what was Bob Hope's favorite song?
What was Bob Hope? Yeah, I'll sing it if you tell me it.
I don't know it.
But what would Bing Crosby, Bing Crosby. How we doing, everybody? I'm dreaming of
I don't think that was his closing song, but yeah.
No. Right. Johnny Carson, Good Nebraska Boy.
Okay. So my closing thought is that I can't imagine a more fun time to be alive in than we are now. It's just going to be incredible the next few years. I don't know if Trump's going to be able to pull off half of what he's promised. But I'll put it this way. Everybody I talk to, I don't talk to very many people, but the ones I talk to all have hope. They believe we have hope. And I believe that's the strongest motivation we can have is hope. Hope things will get better. Hope that whatever we have today, we'll have more tomorrow. And I see that all the time now. People are getting inspired. They're getting inspired because they see things happening. And let's face it.
That's what Zig Ziglar, my pal, late Zig Ziglar said, hope is the fuel that drives enthusiasm for life.
I think that's the great way to leave today. Hope is, say it again.
Hope is the fuel that drives enthusiasm for life.
What's the engine that the fuel feel?
Oh, no, come on. Zig didn't worry about that. He just liked hope, enthusiasm, and life.
I agree. So, hey, put that in your pipe and smoke it, and we'll see you a couple days from now. We're getting more listeners.
And we're going live on video. We're going to be on video soon, so stay tuned.
Yeah, we'll see. Okay, that's up to you, Dan. Okay. Goodbye, everybody. Have a good weekend, and go Kansas City Chiefs. Bye.